Our thanks to Bronwyn for that musical offering for us. As we prepare now for our scripture lesson, just a couple quick notes about what just happened. So as we gave the children the Bibles, what you all didn't get to see is that each Bible was inscribed. The child's name was written on the inside, and Hannah went to the trouble of writing an individual message to each child who received one. What a wonderful thing for our children's ministry. And also, as we continue through our service, I'm going to forget to say this after the sermon, so I better say it now. After the sermon, we go to our sermon hymn. This is the fourth Sunday of the month. And our tradition here at Swickley Presbyterian is that we take up a second offering on the fourth Sunday of the month, so the basket will come to the front of the sanctuary. And during that hymn, we invite you to come forward and place an offering in the basket. And this goes directly to our hunger partners. This month, the money goes to Pittsburgh Presbyteries Ministries. And so this is not meant to be an offering that supports the ministries of the church. It goes directly to our hunger partners. And so I invite you to participate in that after the sermon hymn, because let's face it, I'm going to get worked up and I'm going to forget to say it at the end. So with all that said, we are going to be reading from Acts chapter 2 this morning, which is one of the traditional passages for Pentecost. We'll be reading the Pentecost story itself, which comes from Acts 2 verses 1 to 12. But before we go to God's word, let's first go to God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for the joy of this day. We give you thanks for baptism. We give you thanks for Bibles. We give you thanks for Pentecost. We give you thanks for Memorial Day weekend and for those that have sacrificed that we can be here today. We ask as we turn our attention towards your word that you would be here with us in this room or wherever we are. We ask that your spirit would enlighten us and illumine us. We ask that you would lift off of our shoulders the burdens of this past week and that you would take away from us the anxiety or excitement for the week ahead. And that in this moment, you would give us the gift of focus, that we might focus solely on you and on your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Listen to the word of God. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judah and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" Here ends the reading. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh Lord, as we reflect now on your word, as its echoes hang in our ears, we ask that you would help your word to find its way into our minds, into our hearts, and into our lives, that we might come to know who you are and who you have called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amazed and perplexed. It's a great phrase, isn't it? And you read through the passage, and we find over and over these references to how amazed the people were. They were amazed, they were perplexed, they were bewildered. And they'd come together to celebrate Pentecost. It's a holiday 50 days after the Passover. It's a holiday where they celebrated the harvest and they celebrated the giving of God's law to the people. And as they gathered for that celebration, something unexpected happened among them. And they began to hear their own native languages coming from unexpected people. And it looked like there were the flames on the heads of the believers. And as the people gathered, they were amazed and perplexed, as well they might be. And what they heard was amazing. Languages that people shouldn't be able to speak. And what they saw was perplexing. Flames on the tops of the disciples' heads. They found themselves amazed and perplexed on that first Pentecost, that birthday of the church. But little did they know, that was nothing compared to what would come next. Little did they know, what they were witnessing was just the prelude, the prologue, the prefix to the real fun. You see, as they found themselves so amazed and so perplexed, there's no way they could have foreseen what would come next. And so for us, as we celebrate Pentecost, it's worth looking at this story. It's worth understanding what was so amazing, what was so perplexing. But even more importantly, it's worth looking at what came next. And in order to do this, we're going to have to take a little bit of a detour out of Scripture and through a world we don't spend a lot of time in from the pulpit. We're going to need to spend some time in Reformed theology. That is the exact same response I got at 8 and at 9. Not one person cheered. No clapping at no mention of Reformed theology. There we go. All right, so we are Presbyterians. And as a Presbyterian church, what that means is we are part of a broader tradition we call the Reformed tradition, which very simply means we kind of like a theologian named John Calvin. We like a lot of the things that he wrote and the way that he understood Scripture. And one of the really important things for us as Presbyterians is that the way faith tends to work is that God acts first. God always takes the first action, makes the first move. And I don't just mean in the sense that if you go to Genesis 1, God created and everything else followed. I mean, there's something in our faith that is, it's a call and a response. God calls and we respond. We see this, for example, in the book of 1 John. 1 John explains that we love because God first loved us. What that means is any time we are able to make an act of selfless love or to give sacrificially or to put someone else's needs above our own, we are doing so in response to the love that God has shown us. God loved us first, and our love is an echo of God's. God calls with love, and we respond by trying to mimic that same love. We find it put a little bit differently in Romans. Paul tells us that the proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Which means that Jesus chose to die for us, not because we are so loving, but because God is so loving. Christ chose to conquer death on our behalf, not because we are so wonderful, but because Jesus is so wonderful. Jesus chooses to come to us, to live as one of us, to die for us, to rise for us, to bring us life, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. And we then respond. We live lives of gratitude, of thanksgiving, not to earn Christ's sacrifice. It has already happened. We live lives of thanksgiving because Jesus has chosen to love us. This is what it means to be Presbyterians. We believe that God acts first. We believe that there was a font in this chancel before any of us were born, and that the waters of baptism were here for us before any of us arrived. We believe that baptism is the sign of God's grace and our response. The exact words we used in Thea's baptism just a few moments ago. This is what it means to be Presbyterian. God calls, we respond. And we see it not just in books of theology, not just in the epistles, but it's in all of our favorite Bible stories. I think about some of our favorite Bible stories. Last week, we alluded very briefly to the story of Isaiah, this great prophet. Isaiah found himself entering into the temple, and as he came to worship, he saw something he couldn't understand. It was amazing and perplexing. Isaiah found himself in the presence of God, and he saw something he described as seraphim, and his words failed him. And he was amazed, he was perplexed at this calling, but when God called, Isaiah responded and became the prophet that we know today. Or think about the story of Esther. Esther, who was a child of the exile, who was grew up in a foreign land. And Esther, child of the exile, God called Esther and made her into a queen. And she goes from a child of exile to being a queen. God calls Esther and then she responds. Call and response. Or think about one of our favorite stories. Think about the Christmas story. The Christmas story follows this exact pattern. God speaks to Mary. Mary hears from the angel Gabriel, who tells her that she will have a child, even though she has not gone through the checklist of things you have to do to have a child. She was amazed and she was perplexed. She was called and then she responded. Call and response. Call and response. Call and response. We find this throughout Scripture. But if you look closely at those stories, they have something else in common. Not just the call and response, not just the amazement or the perplexity of the call, but there's something that happens in the response. The call is amazing. The call is perplexing. But the real fun is in the response. Think about that story of Isaiah. Isaiah was amazed and perplexed by his calling, but it's only when he responds that he becomes the prophet we know. It's only when he responds that he foretells the coming of the Messiah who will set the people free. The real joy is in the response. The real fun is in the response. Or think about Esther. When Esther became queen, it may have been amazing. It may have been perplexing when she became from the child of exile an empress, but the real fun came when she used her power, she used her position to save an entire nation. The real joy was not in the call, it was in the response. Or think about the story of Mary. The joy is not in the word from Gabriel. The real joy, the real fun for Mary, it comes not in that calling. It comes on Easter. It comes in her response. It comes as she follows where God leads. The joy is always in the response. The real fun is in the response, which brings us back to Pentecost. As we go back to the Pentecost story, these early Christians found themselves amazed and perplexed at the call. But that was nothing compared to what would come next. It was a prefix. It was a prelude. It was a prologue. The real fun would come after. To explain it, let's think about the ministries of our church, the ministries that our church supports. Think about our fourth Sunday hunger offerings and the Center for Hope and the Ladle. The three ministries that our church supports that feed the people of our community. Think about the number of people that have received meals over the past 6 months. Thousands. Thousands upon thousands of people have received meals because of the ministry of this church over the last 6 months. Now, multiply that by two, because there are another 6 months to come in the year. And then add to that number, the thousands and thousands in 1 year from our own church, and add to that every soup kitchen, every food pantry, every hunger ministry, every feeding initiative from any church in our area. And then add all of the churches that support hunger ministries in our state, and then in our country, and then in our continent, and then in our hemisphere, and then around our planet. And think about the thousands upon thousands of people who will receive meals this year because of the ministry of the Church of Jesus. And then think about how many meals you would have to multiply going back the thousands of years since that first Pentecost when it all began. It may have been amazing and perplexing when they witnessed the calling, but the real fun came afterwards. The thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions or even billions of meals people have been able to eat because of the ministry of the church that began on Pentecost. Go beyond meals. Think about shelter. Think about the blankets that our church has provided to people who are in need, or the homes provided by shelters, or the housing that has been provided by churches and ministries that began in churches and is founded by churches and funded by churches. How many people have received housing and shelter because of ministries that began on Pentecost? The real joy is in the response. Think about the number of educations that have been provided through the ministry of the church, through Sunday schools and Bible schools and preschools and colleges and universities that were started by churches and by denominations. The real joy is in the response. All of it dates back to Pentecost. Think about the number of relationships that have been blessed, that have been grown, that have been transformed through counseling centers and counseling ministries that are started in or housed by churches, which all date back to Pentecost. The real joy is in the response. Think about the art that we have. Every stained glass window, every symphony, every sonata, every sculpture, every painting, every portrait, every picture that arose because of what happened on that first Pentecost. The joy is in the response. Think about the friendships you have developed through your time in church and the countless relationships and all of the fellowship, all of the friendship from those ministries that all began on Pentecost. The real joy is in the response. Think about, let's be shallow. Think about every picnic, every piece of pie, and every piece of cake that has been served because of the church. The joy is in the response. On that first Pentecost, they were amazed. They were perplexed, but all they saw was fire, and all they heard were languages. We get to see the real joy. We get to see the real excitement. We get to be part of the real fun, which is not in the calling, it's in the response. We have witnessed the birth of a church that changed the world and countless untold lives throughout the centuries. The joy is in the response. People eat because we worship. The joy is in the response. Our lives have been changed because of what Christ has done. The joy is in the response. Pentecost was a prelude. Pentecost was a prologue. Pentecost was a prefix. The real joy is what happened next, and we get to be part of it. On that first Pentecost, they looked around. They saw flames. They heard languages. They were amazed and perplexed. Little did they know, the fun was just beginning. The joy is in the response. So respond. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.